The other day I went to watch the National Symphony Orchestra. Specifically, I went to see the conductor, Leonard Slatkin. And I sat so that I could really see him. Normally, when you watch an orchestra, you see the conductor's back. You see Slatkin's arms slicing the air. You see his white hair fly upward. But during an orchestra rehearsal, I got to sit off to the side, where I could see his face. When the music is calm, his face is calm. As the music picks up, his face comes alive. Or maybe it's the other way around. Talking, coaxing, waving his arms, even singing, Leonard Slatkin urged the orchestra to produce the sound he hears in his head. Classical music fans showed up for this rehearsal, and so did several aspiring conductors. Leonard Slatkin is teaching the National Conducting Institute. For 3 weeks a year, a handful of younger musicians come here and try to learn how to guide an orchestra. So this is not really a story about art, so much as the story of a job, the tiny details that make the difference between a successful performance and a failure.
You all have much more to think about than I did when I was in your position. Much more. You have a much harder job that goes so far beyond the conducting itself. And you have to start thinking about it now. You have to.
After the rehearsal, Leonard Slatkin sat down for lunch. His students sat around him. Later this month, four young men will get a chance to conduct this symphony orchestra. They're all accomplished musicians. Some went to Juilliard. All have conducted an orchestra somewhere in this country. None has conducted a professional orchestra at this level. If you sit in the back of the room, over by a stray Steinway piano, and just listen, you might hear Slatkin talking about his sore right arm, the one that he uses to keep time.
This one is tennis elbow, but not from playing tennis. It's actually from conducting, and it turns out it's from gripping the stick. It causes the same thing. A nice trick I learned for this. Tennis elbow, you ready for this? This is really good.
Slatkin extends his right hand, palm upward.
10 seconds of that. 10 seconds down.
With his other hand, he pulls his fingers back toward himself.
Yeah. Feel it? So if you're... this really looks silly.
With nothing more than his hands, his expressions, and his mind, Leonard Slatkin has to persuade dozens of artists to play in time. More than that, a metronome can keep them in time. Slatkin says he conducts every performance a little differently, a little faster here, a little slower there. He's trying to move the audience that showed up on a particular night. When he sat down to talk about that yesterday, he said he really earns his money when the performance starts going wrong. Then he has to pull the group together, even as the music goes on.
There are visual ways to do that. It's hard to explain them to a non-visual medium such as we're dealing with, but there are gestures.
You can try. Try. Tell me. Show me what you're talking
about. Well, supposing we're going along and the clarinet does something, rather than go eek, a reaction, physical reaction.
A look of horror crosses your face.
Because I mean, you really have to not do that. The player needs to know that you've heard something is wrong, and then all of a sudden another one goes wrong. At that point, you just retain your cool, and you think about where's the next point where something should fall back into place comfortably. And you look at it, and you smile at everybody and say, now.
It's also been interesting to hang out here because I've begun to hear people talk about the little details of this profession. Yesterday, we discovered that apparently in one of these sessions, the young conductors are being told, be sure to wear lots of deodorant.
Yes. Well, I didn't say lots. When I was first starting, it was a criticism of me as a very young conductor. Two members of the orchestra sitting near the front said, you perspire, you do all this stuff, you really need to be a little more aware of the odors that are coming off from the podium.
And take I took care it to of your heart. Fellow man.
Well, exactly. So these are issues that are not taught in schools. I guarantee you, nobody's talking about this.
what would your reaction be to a young conductor coming up and not using a stick?
If it works, fine. And you need to be able to conduct without it because sometimes the baton disappears from your hand. The best one I ever had with that, I was doing Shostakovich 10 with the Philharmonic. And somewhere in the first one, I gave some gesture. It was an afternoon, it was a Friday afternoon. I gave something, and all of a sudden, I felt the stick go. And I end of the concert, about four or five members of the orchestra come up, and they say, we're sorry if we seemed a little distracted during the second half of the first movement. I said, well, I didn't notice, but what happened? They said, well,
you let the stick flew out of your hand, and it kind of went straight back. And it actually landed on a perfect angle right down the front of some lady's blouse, straight down. And they said we were all kind of busy looking to see it for a movement. Then it got passed up to the front during the movement.
Leonard Slatkin says he teaches aspiring conductors how to bow before a performance. An unimpressive entrance could throw off the audience. He tells them to get tailored suits with extra room in the shoulders so they can swing their arms skyward when they need to. Slatkin and other instructors also talk about business. In this economy, orchestras are losing money. So Slatkin says a conductor has to be part salesman, building relationships between a local orchestra and people who can fund it. Some of the students already know the pressure to hold down costs. Last year, aspiring conductor Jonathan Schiffman got a chance to pick up the baton. He was conducting a concert for children in Fort Worth, Texas. The orchestra union rules required that the concert end in 50 minutes or less.
I figured out my tempos. I figured out how long everything was going to add up. And I came to about, 45 minutes. And I thought, okay, 5 minutes to spare. I could go a little under. That's playing it safe. And I'm about ready to walk out to the podium, and I realize, oh, they have to tune first. So that's when the clock starts. Uh-oh, couple minutes already off. Well, okay, I had 5 extra minutes now. I maybe have 2, 3. Okay. Oh, one other thing. Since September 11th was about a year ago, now most orchestras begin by doing the Star Spangled, the National Anthem. So we're going to do that. Another couple minutes. Suddenly, what became a safe 45 minutes was a very scary... 49 minutes and 50 seconds. And so the last piece on the program was Peter and the Wolf, and we're getting down to the last couple measures. I was looking at that clock, sweating, every
few
seconds.
Picking up the tempo a little bit, guys.
Yeah, and fortunately, I think we just got in, in the brink of time. And that was one of the scariest experiences of my life, because you go a couple seconds over, Suddenly you have to pay an entire orchestra overtime. And for a children's concert, they would have murdered me.
Jonathan Schiffman is 26 years old, one of four young people who will soon lead the National Symphony Orchestra through a performance at the Kennedy Center here in Washington, D.C. Conductor Leonard Slatkin helped to choose the candidates for this class, in part by watching them on videotape as they conducted less prominent orchestras.
I was told that you should be able to watch a conductor, turn the sound off, and still tell what piece they're conducting and where they are in the piece of music if they're really good.
You have said in the last day, and probably said many times, that a piece of music may be very different depending on who's conducting or even the day that the same conductor leads it.
No two people have exactly the same muscular structure or physiognomy. When I work with conductors, I try to work within how their bodies are shaped and built. For some people, if you come down on a downbeat and then go to the left with your second beat, some can go further over to the left than others. Some can't. Some people's shoulders can raise higher than others. A good conductor is someone who does not fight their own physical structure. So I talk a lot to the conductors about staying within how you're built. Frequently when they're on the podium, I will actually hold them, hold the shoulder down, step on their feet to keep them firmly planted in some cases, because it might be getting in the way. Another example, sometimes conductors will actually tap out the time with their feet as they're conducting. I have to physically restrain them. That's what your right hand is for when you conduct, to keep time, not your foot. Every part of your body has a function when you're conducting, but you have to find out from each individual what that function is.
And the pain of your toes as you're stepping on them, I'm sure, keeps
it
people focused.
It can be a little bit painful, and the conductors are always surprised when I do it. The tough one I do with them. Sometimes a conductor keep their emotions bottled up. They're afraid to get angry. When the music calls for anger, a couple of them that I've seen over the last couple of years are just keeping it inside. And I'll take a piece of paper and just hold it, and I'll say, punch through it. Just absolutely hit this paper and get through it. And they do it. And usually the first attempt is half-hearted and it doesn't work. And I said, come on. I said, think of somebody you really can't stand. That's how I want you to do this. And finally they punched their paper. I said, now beat that way. Now show the orchestra in your gesture the anger that's in the music, the same kind of anger you directed at that piece of paper. You can translate almost every emotional feeling in your life into the physical gesture of the music.
As he met with his students this week, Leonard Slatkin helped them to choose the music they will conduct before an audience this month. He had each of the four write down the music they would like to conduct.
All right, let's see what we have. We have one Strauss. We have two Strausses. We have a Brahms. And we have a Rimsky.
Leonard Slatkin says he'll make the final judgment himself. Each of these aspiring conductors is different. He says that each may be uniquely suited to make one particular piece of music thrill an audience one night in June. Our visit with Leonard Slatkin and the Young Conductors was produced by Tracy Wall and engineered by Neil Ellis and Peter Alina.